But the next question is, okay, if you're going to revalue this gold and sell some to buy some Bitcoin, then we better hope that it actually is in Fort Knox, right?
They're going to have to think about how they're going to pay that $1 trillion DOD budget if they want to send a $5,000 check to everyone, which, by the way, still haven't received.
The probability of any Lebanese seeing a penny back are about the same as like the Victoria's Secret team moving in with me tomorrow night. You know, it's...
Just in, McDonald's rejects shareholder proposal to add Bitcoin to the treasury.
Kill fiat, replace it with sound money. Doesn't matter where it is.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. Rick and Tony are here with me. Guys, let's jump right into the news. Up first, the Trump administration says U.S. may buy Bitcoin using tariff revenue. Let's listen to Pomp in this discussion.
But then I've also seen Lutnick and others talk about this idea of, well, maybe there's external revenue that we can drive and be able to use that. And so, like, how are you guys maybe from a framework standpoint thinking about, okay, what are the ways that we could go buy more Bitcoin?
Well, I think that Senator Lummis has really an interesting idea with the Bitcoin Act of 2025, which I know has taken the community by storm. But here, what you would do is you'd revalue the gold certificates that we currently have at Treasury. Most of which are valued, I think, around like $43 an ounce, which is, you know,
a lot lower than what it's really worth.
Correct. Yeah. So now we're sitting at what, $3,100 an ounce with being the price of gold. And if you took that value, what you could do is use that extra funding in order to buy more Bitcoin that could be used for the reserve. But that's just one idea. And, you know, that's currently circulating its way through Capitol Hill, and we'll see how many co-sponsors she can get and how she can pull her colleagues on board. But we're looking at many creative ways, whether it be from, tariffs, whether it be from something else. I mean, there's literally countless ways in which you can do this. And, you know, I'll defer to, you know, some of our members inside of the interagency working group to see what ideas they come up with inside of their own shops. But we'll look at everything. Everything's on the table. And like we've said, we want as much as we can get. So we're going to make sure that no stone is unturned as we start fleshing out some of these processes.
All righty. You heard it. The Trump administration is looking for creative ways to acquire Bitcoin, tariffs being one of them, revaluing their gold stockpile. Tony, what do you think? Do you think they're good? Hang on. First of all, do you think they're actually going to do it? Because I have my skepticism.
Yeah, so do I, man. Everything is always colorful when it's in the marketing stage, you know, of announcing news. But when it comes to actually producing the product, you know, that's when, you know, things, you know, tend to be very, very different. They kept, you know, harping on this whole budget neutral approach of buying Bitcoin. But so far, you know, nothing real has been put on the table. And I don't know if they've even bought anything. I don't think they have. But all of these creative ideas, as far as I'm concerned, they're just ideas. You know, I'm the type of person that doesn't believe anything unless it's actually done. And so if they actually, you know, move forward with this, I guess it's a good start. I mean, it is not budget neutral, but it shouldn't affect the taxpayer, at least not directly. I mean, the taxpayer is going to be, you know, penalized, I guess, from the tariffs themselves. But, you know, there's no direct money printing involved to buy the Bitcoin, even though that in and of itself, I think, is inevitable as well. So I just want to see them start buying something, whichever way they do it. You know, I mean, that's really the key that I'm looking for. So far, it's just like talk. So until we actually see a purchase take place, you know, I have my reservations about everything that they're saying right now.
Yeah, it seems like if they're playing 4D chess, like some people like to say, it seems like they wouldn't be telegraphing their move to buy Bitcoin in this way. Like they're being pretty, this is a pretty public statement to be making, that they're looking for creative ways to buy Bitcoin. Rick, do you think they're going to buy it? And do you think, I mean, I guess what's your take on the video too?
I have no idea. I'm sure I have no idea. No, I didn't predict Trump launching his own coin, so I'm not going to try and predict like what the Trump administration will do with buying Bitcoin. But listen, I think there's some really interesting things that come out of this video. The first one that completely took me by surprise, I had no idea, was they're talking about gold held by the Treasury is valued at $40 an ounce. That's the first time I've ever heard that. That sounds
That sounds completely crazy. I mean, if that's the case, then yeah, America's a lot more wealthy than maybe they thought. I don't know how that works. But the next question is, okay, if you're going to revalue this gold and sell some to buy some Bitcoin, then we better hope that it actually is in Fort Knox, right? So maybe Elon wants to get on his bike and do his little audit and check. The other part about maybe using tariffs to buy Bitcoin, that one I find particularly interesting, right? Because it takes as a base assumption that the tariffs are going to mean that America are going to end up with a big pile of money to spend and you're going to get really rich. So you've kind of like, that's kind of a victory lap before we even know how everything with this trade war pans out. I don't necessarily know if it's going to be as simple as like, yeah, we got all this money off the Chinese. What should we buy with it? But the most telling thing about this for me is like towards the end of the video, the guy's like, oh, but, you know, hand waved these issues away and says, but, you know, whatever, like my colleagues, we'll come up with something creative. We'll come up with some creative ways to buy Bitcoin. And I'm thinking, do you know what? These guys starting to sound more and more like me every day, right? Because I'm like down the back of the couch looking for my spare change. You know, I'm looking at the cat and thinking, you eat quite a lot of cat food, right? That money could be going into sats. And I think, you know, I think this is what's happening, right? And it will continue to happen is they'll more and more realizing we need some of this Bitcoin stuff, guys, or you know, we need to really get some of this. And now they're scrambling, thinking, well, where can we raise the money from? How do we do it? So I think it's a bit speculative, right? Like, I'm not even sure who the guy Pomp was talking to is or what authority he has. And I find, you know, it's important to remember, do you remember Bitcoin Strategic Reserve on day one of the presidency? Well, that didn't really happen. And, you know, a lot of these things, they'll get big news, big attention, but it's maybe just a bit of speculation or a bit of content. But who knows? Who knows? They'll buy it some way, somehow.
The only thing I'll add to this is pure signal to any retail just sitting on the sidelines, you know, doing nothing. All this talk, they haven't really done much, but they're talking about it. So, I mean, they're giving you all the right signals to get off your ass if you're still lingering on zero with regards to Bitcoin or still wondering if it's a scam or a real deal. It's a real deal, and it's going to become explosively real very, very soon. So if you're retail, just, you know, bumming around still, you know, wasting time, you should be panicking right now because that opportunity, that window of going out and buying whatever it is amount that you can afford to buy, that's about to vanish and like vanish very, very quickly. That's what I can pretty much confirm from this conversation. How they buy it is irrelevant. The fact that they're going to buy it, that's the signal that everybody should be, you know, paying attention to.
Tony, I agree it's a signal that people should be paying attention to. At the same time, I remember the first couple of weeks of the Trump administration, I was not necessarily optimistic, but I was pleasantly surprised that Trump seemed to be fulfilling many of his campaign promises very, very quickly, right? And I've become a bit disillusioned by the fact that we don't have all the story on Epstein. No one's been arrested. They've redirected ICE, at least to some degree, from, you know, deporting illegal, violent criminal immigrants to revoking visas of law-abiding students who are, you know, pro-Palestine and, like, you know, all these things. And it doesn't really matter what side of the issue you take. It's the fact that there's been a lot of distraction from what I felt like were the marching orders that Trump had been given. And, you know, I could see them buying this. You know, buying Bitcoin in some way. I agree with you, Rick. We don't know what the tariffs are actually going to do. Certainly, they're going to have to think about how they're going to pay that $1 trillion DOD budget if they want to send a $5,000 check to everyone, which, by the way, I still haven't received. If they want to eliminate capital gains taxes, if they want to eliminate the income tax, how are they going to fund the DOD alone, the interest expense beyond that, and then everything else that government's going to continue to do? Because I actually saw an interesting statistic that Doge has estimated about $150 billion in savings, and at the during that same time frame, Congress's spend is up $154 billion year over year, and so there's still net negative $4 billion even with all this alleged savings. Like, we're still not going in the right direction. We're just going in the wrong direction a little bit slower, right? So yeah, I don't know. I have my skepticism, but yeah, no formal prediction from me. Okay. Don't trade or buy based on anything I'm saying here. All right, let's jump into the next one. Lebanese depositors. So this is according to Bloomberg. Lebanese depositors will get their money back over time as part of a financial overhaul, the economy minister says on Bloomberg TV. Rick, what's your take? You think they're getting their money back?
I only really have one take, and that is, where from? Like, where is this magic? Where does the magic money come from? Like, the mind boggles, man. The mind boggles, right? So, like, I would almost guarantee there's no way they're going to pay you back in dollars, right? Because where are they going to get them from? Like, just call up Trump and, yeah, just roll me off a few of those 20s from the Fed Reserve, please. Like, so that doesn't seem like a viable option. And then if they pay it back in the local currency, what are they going to do? Just print a load of it? Because then it's going to be worthless. So I wouldn't hold out much hope. But I mean, you know, we've got our resident Lebanese expert here with us, and he might be about to tell me, Rick, you know, you should be buying some Bitcoin this week because I'm about to get my money back from the Lebanese government and going to be throwing it straight into Bitcoin. So I don't know. Tony, tell me, are you about to cash in? Are you going to get your money back? Are they going to make you whole? And you're going to feel much better about Lebanon or what?
The probability of any Lebanese seeing a penny back are about the same as like the Victoria's Secret team moving in with me tomorrow night. You know, it's... This bullshit has been, you know, being published since 2019, okay? Just to give you a bit of context of who you're dealing with here in Lebanon. You are dealing with a level of corruption and criminality that I think no one has read about in history books, all right? Imagine, since this day happened, the IMF, in all its glory, has not been able to make any headways in Lebanon to come up with a plan for reforms to try to rebuild this shitty country, okay? So you're talking about the economic hitmen, the most professional of their kind. And to this day, they have failed to make any headway in Lebanon. So if you thought the IMF was bad, look who they're dealing with. That's the level of crime and corruption you have in Lebanon today. So if you think anyone is going to see a single penny, you're hallucinating on the strongest drugs ever made, all right? It's never going to happen, in my opinion. And if it does, the value of what they give you back will be worth less than used toilet paper. So assume the money is gone. It's never going to come back. And whatever comes back is not something you want. You can't fix a country like Lebanon while keeping the same garbage in power. That applies to any country, by the way. It's not specific to Lebanon. But you have to completely eliminate the power of money from these people. Separation of money and state. Lebanon or any other place. That's the only way the country moves forward. That's the only way things become healthy again. Any other concoction results in no change. Kill fiat, replace it with sound money. Doesn't matter where it is. So that story, you know, like, I mean, yeah, if you want to entertain yourself and give yourself, you know, wishful hopes, you can hold on to it. But as far as I'm concerned, it's less than a 0.01% chance of having any validity to it.
Yeah. Tony, I've heard you refer to fiat as toilet paper many times. I've never heard you refer to it as used toilet paper. So I think your statement comes across stronger than even usual. All righty. Up next, speaking of toilet paper. Christine Lagarde on CBDCs. Let's watch this video.
We have a cutoff date, which is October. So October 2025, my governing council has to decide whether we move forward or not. So that's an important date. My strong hope is that by then, the European Parliament has passed the legislation that will support the technological work, the policy work, the unified rule book that we are working on so that we can launch.
All righty. So a CBDC is looking likely. They've got to make a decision by October. I don't I don't anticipate a bunch of tyrants opting for less power. So this feels promising that that a CBDC is coming to the European Union. Rick, why don't you take this one first? Do you think it's going to happen? And or do you think maybe there's some, you know, movement that I'm unaware of that's really pushing this, pushing against this?
I mean, CBDCs on paper are a terrible, terrible idea. I mean, you know, this is even worse than fiat currency, right? So if I give you an example, they're going to get a level of control over your money that you've never seen before. So let's pull out some examples. Maybe they decide that eating red meat is bad for the environment. So when you spend your CBDC, they give you a meat quota. And if you go over the meat quota, all of a sudden, it's your money and you can spend it on whatever you want, except these items. And they could apply that sort of thing to anything. You know, it could be fuel. You're only allowed this much fuel. And if your car's run out of fuel and your grandma is in the hospital 100 miles away, you can't go and visit because you have to wait a week before your fuel quota comes back and things like that. It's a scary idea. And the other thing, you know, I could imagine them on a CBDC saying things like, you know, in the interests of economic stability and to stimulate the economy, we're actually going to put an expiry date on your money. So if you haven't spent it within 2 months of this date, it will actually disappear. So you're moving into a world now. I mean, it's almost impossible to save in fiat money now, right? Because it evaporates and melts like an ice cube in your hand. But they actually might put like a strict cutoff date on your money to drive economic activity and all manner of shenanigans where they deludedly try and centrally manage an economy and just make an absolute mess in the process of doing it. So yeah, a CBDC needs to be avoided like the plague. However, I don't sit here and get massively, massively worried about it for one simple reason. And that's kind of based on what she said in the video. We're going to see if we're going to move forward in October. And I've got to have a meeting with this committee. And then hopefully we can pass the laws to get all of this through, right? And you start to realize, oh, hang on, maybe we shouldn't be that worried because these people are genuinely incompetent. They are total incompetent fools. And I've never seen a government IT project get delivered on time and functional and actually work. So the second question is, it might be their desire, but can they actually pull it off? And I think I have a big, a lot of doubts about whether they can actually do it. And compare it to Bitcoin. This is my funniest thing. So Lagarde, right? You ever heard that saying, a camel is a horse designed by committee? Because loads of people have their input and then they're trying to build a horse, but it comes out this thing with a big hump on the back and it looks a mess, right? Sorry to any camel fans out there, but you know, you get the point. So, you know, look at the difference here. Satoshi Nakamoto, who I personally think was probably one person based on this idea that it's just such a beautiful design. And he wrote a white paper, which is what, 10 pages long? And then we have Bitcoin. And then you have these incompetents of the EU, like Lagarde and the rest of her crony friends. Well, they're going to have committee meetings and they're going to see if they can get the rules ticked. So I don't know. In the short term, if they suck people into a CBDC, that's going to be tragic and not great for those people. But in the long term, these people are never, ever going to be able to compete with Bitcoin. And the thing that's really funny about it is that they're in this process of trying to launch a shitcoin. It's going to take them months to do it. Meanwhile, somewhere in the US, there's a 13-year-old kid launching meme coins, like 10, 15 meme coins a day, right? Does it in 10 minutes. So I think if they're the next shit coiners, they're going to launch their own coins. It's going to be a disaster and it's probably going to be less usable and less useful than ETH, right? That's how bad it's going to be. So I'm not that worried about it, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I think maybe where I'd push back on you is, you know, previously, government's been incompetent for a host of reasons, but if they can just confiscate $10 trillion in private savings, they've got a big budget to work with to roll this thing out on time, you know? And as a backup, if $10 trillion's not enough, they've got World War III to lubricate the economy and, you know, plenty of levers they can pull that would be just perfect for everyone. Tony, what's your take on the European Union and the CBDC?
Man, I understand where you're coming from, Rick, and I completely agree with you that government competency is horrific. But I think what you forget is that normie IQ is even more horrific, you know. So things are terrible already in the system as it is now, but most of the world is just using it, you know, normally, and they have no intention or concept of an alternative that exists to whatever they have in front of them. In fact, a lot of them are waiting for government permission for anything, even to this day. Despite COVID and all the nightmare that went through, you talk to someone on the street, and I know this from experience, you know, whenever I try to bring Bitcoin up, and still to this day, a lot of the reactions are, but is it legal? Will the government allow it? You know, like if the mindset is autopiloted to think that way, a CBDC for me is a real possibility to coexist in today's world with Bitcoin, because a lot of these people are going to fall right into it without hesitation because they don't see the dangers of what you're describing. Their brains like can't even come close to computing that scenario until the day comes where they're completely obliterated by it, then maybe they start thinking of this. And why I'm so bearish on this is because of what happened to me in Lebanon. You'd think after having your entire life wiped out, people would revolt and destroy and completely kill the legacy system over there. Nothing of the sort happened. They're still chasing that shitty dollar. They're still doing the same stupid things they used to do before. Just complaining more, right? The same cancerous people responsible for this problem are still in power, right? Nothing's changed, despite the most horrific thing that can happen to you. So when I tell you the biggest obstacle to something as revolutionary as Bitcoin or just anything in the world is human IQ. Most people are dumb, as nasty as that sound. They're just stupid. And if you look back in history, this has been going on for like centuries. Regular folks, for some inexplicable reason, lack the capacity to think further than half an inch. And that's why a lot of them remain completely screwed and oppressed over time, repeatedly. So I think Bitcoin is not going away because there's still a big enough percentage of the world that's understanding what, you know, people like us talk about. So I think we will live in a parallel system if the CBDC comes through. And if it comes through, by the way, it's because Europeans failed. It's not just the responsibility of the government. I mean, these guys are crooks. Their career is to steal, right? But if the people don't push back, well, then the people are also responsible because they still somewhat have a say in this, right? So the failure is not just like the responsibility. It doesn't just fall on the government. It's also the part of people's voice to have them opened and voice their pushback against something like this. Otherwise, you'll have a parallel economy. Bitcoiners living happily, not complaining. And these other idiots complaining how their lives is always so difficult. And at some point, and that could take a very, very long time, depending on, you know, your intellect and your pain threshold, people will start moving into the other side. Ultimately, Bitcoin wins. But by what degree it wins? I've sort of reassessed my measuring stick when it comes to this because I am really not bullish on people. Sadly, you know, I mean, we work with a lot of amazing folks. I mean, we get a lot more people that are tuning into Bitcoin. But, you know, if you zoom out with compared to 8 billion people, we're like a drop in the bucket still, right? So, yeah, it should be interesting come October. I hope it fails, but if it doesn't, I can't say I'd be very surprised.
I think we've, and by we, I think it's the people you're referring to here have been conditioned and psyoped into believing that money doesn't exist apart from government and that what they define as money is the thing they have to use. And so it's not even about an analysis of what is this money? Does it infringe upon my individual rights? It's like, oh, if I want to go buy a hamburger, and we'll get to hamburgers here in a moment, I guess I need a, you know, I need to use my CBDC money or my paper money or whatever. I think more people are waking up to this, but as always, my thesis is max pain is required for And maybe that max pain, or not max pain, but maybe some of that pain comes when you try to go buy your ground beef and you can't because you've had your weekly allotment of, methane producing food. Time will tell. I'll be interested to see what happens come October. I can't imagine a world where a bunch of power hungry tyrants reject a form of money that will give them more power and the ability to coerce people into the behavior that they like. So I guess time will tell. Alrighty, last one, guys. Just in, McDonald's rejects shareholder proposal to add Bitcoin to the treasury. Obviously, will go down as a historic mistake, but I'm loving it because that means I get more Bitcoin, less competition from the big boys seeking to add to their treasury. Tony, I'll let you take this one first.
Yeah, man, if the junk food king goes out of business, I'm not one to be upset about it. So the fact that they rejected Bitcoin, you know, good, because at some point, you know, it's going to be game over for them money-wise compared to everybody else who's jumping on the future train, right? So McDonald's rejecting it, it's bullish for Bitcoin. Go buy Bitcoin while these clowns, you know, sulk in their junk food and, you know, just ignore them.
Yeah, I think people need to remember that companies making these sorts of decisions, this is not signal. Like this, the fact that they're rejecting Bitcoin is noise because the signal, if you had a company companies run by Bitcoiners are accumulating Bitcoin because they've done the homework. They've spent the 100 hours, thousands of hours to understand what it is that they're accumulating. Bitcoin is a massive publicly traded company based here in the US. 99% of their shareholders have no concept of what Bitcoin is. To them, it is strictly magic internet money. It's a speculative investment. It's whatever their financial advisor has told them before. And so in their view, migrating to this unknown asset, you know, which is how they probably frame it in their minds, is risky to the investment that they've made in the company. So I would just urge people to ignore this and write it off as noise and not some sort of signal that Bitcoin's not growing in adoption. Rick, what's your thought?
That's a bit of a disaster for me, actually. You know, this is McDonald's is my backup plan, right? Like if it all goes downhill and I make some more mistakes, I was just going to go back to flipping burgers, but maybe these guys will go out of business. The only thing I think that is maybe interesting about this McDonald's story is that I think a lot of people think that McDonald's makes money through selling burgers, but actually the main part of McDonald's business model is property, right? So like they run a franchise, but they actually grew this huge, like global worldwide property portfolio with all their restaurants. And they kind of use that to then like re-leverage their money, go and acquire more property and all this. So it's a fascinating thing because, you know, we talk on podcasts a lot and other Bitcoiners as well about, you know, real estate, commercial or residential has this like monetary premium at the moment because all of this printed funny money has to end up somewhere. So actually, you know, if McDonald's do really refuse to adopt Bitcoin and stay on this property bet for a long, long time, they could end up with a kind of double whammy here because if commercial real estate does go back to just its utility value instead of a store of value, and Bitcoin rips off, then they're going to have no Bitcoin. And the massive sort of value that's currently on their balance sheet, which is real estate, is suddenly going to be demonetized against it. So yeah, not bullish for McDonald's, but I'm with Tony, man. Those guys, they just sell absolute slops, not even real food. So yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing the back of them.
Rick, I got to push back on that too, though, because McDonald's is my backup when I travel. So according to Safedine, the burger patties are 100% beef, salt, and pepper, and that's it. No seed oils. They're cooked right on the skillet or on the stovetop or whatever. And so when I'm traveling and I'm trying to get a hold of my ground beef and I don't know where I am or what's in anything else, that's kind of my go-to. I'll just order some of that and have a couple pounds of ground beef. So I would be in a lot of trouble.
McDonald's goes out of business, my plan is I'm going to buy up a few of these derelict restaurants from them when we get onto a Bitcoin standard, and I'm going to get my ass out to America, and I'm going to introduce haggis to the American people, right, and show them some real tasty Scottish food.
Remind me what that is.
So it's essentially offal cooked inside a sheep's stomach, with like a variety of spices, and you have haggis, neeps, and tatties, which is haggis, turnips, and mashed potato with like a cream whiskey sauce on top. It's absolutely pucker. That stuff will put some hair on your chest, man.
I don't know where Rick comes from, man, but that sounds really wild.
Taste good? I saw Alan Farrington and Bitpain going back and forth on Twitter about this. And Alan Farrington was like, imagine like, you know, taking organ meat and, you know, fermented food and ragging on it because you're, you know, your understanding of, you know, good cuisine is so poor.
You know the guy Yellow, like character on Bitcoin Twitter, he made the funniest video edit ever about this argument that these two had over haggis, right? And it's such a funny video. I'll try and dig it out and send it to our editor, right? So if we can find it, we'll stick it on the end of this clip, because honestly, I was crying with laughter at that thing. No one disses haggis and gets away with it. You only get to diss haggis if you have actually caught one in the wild.
If you had inherited any culinary wisdom within an overall package of social capital unmolested by consumerist marketing, you would realize the hysterical self-own of criticizing both organ meat and fermentation. Since you didn't, this feels almost like bullying. I has the sads. No one disses haggis and gets away with it.
Man, isn't there like a 20-year-old McDonald's burger that's still sitting on the same plate and that looks exactly the same as it was, you know, when it was made 20 years ago?
I don't know.
I saw this online not too long ago, actually. Somebody made this experiment. He bought a McDonald's burger. He left it on a plate in the kitchen. You know, he just covered it. And it's been like, 20 years now. And if you look at it, it hasn't changed. It's exactly the same way it was on day one.
Tony, that's because they cook it to perfection with love and care.
That must be it. Holy shit, man. Like that's scary.
Oh, his wife is maybe his wife is the Hamburglar, right? And she steals one every night and then replaces it. And he thinks this is the same burger. And actually it's been 20,000 separate burgers.
I've seen that with ice cream bars. Have you ever seen that where people leave them out for like 2 or 3 days and they don't melt? It's like,
what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We got some wild chemicals we can put into food to keep it lasting, or if you want to call it food, I guess. Anyway, we're really going off track here. For everyone listening, thank you for tuning in. Really appreciate it. Do us a favor. If you need help with proper 100% Bitcoin self-custody, go over to the bitcoinway.com/podcast. We would love to chat with you, explain our process. We take no shortcuts. We have no counterparty risk at the end of helping you get set up. We just train you to do it the right way. We also help with online privacy phones. We have a Plan B residency option. And we'd love to chat with you about how we can help provide a self-sovereign life. Gentlemen, as always, it's been a pleasure. Always fun to catch up, and especially fun when we get to talk about Donald Trump and McDonald's all in the same episode. So thank you.
Amen to that. Thank you.
Cheers, Michael.
All right, cheers, guys.